Good morning. It's good to be with you today. I'm glad to have those of you that are visiting with us. This morning I want to talk with you about the subject of distractions. Sometimes we are easily distracted. Again, I'll say we're easily distracted. People in the know say that distractions are an increasing problem in the workplace and can be linked to constant access to information and news. I know that, you know, it's if we don't have our phone with us, we feel like we doesn't matter how far away we are from the house, we've got to go back and get it. I don't know how we ever survived without having constant information with us at all times. So there's a lot out there to capture our attention. And so when we give in to that urge for constant information, we develop habits of being distracted. We make it easier and easier to be distracted. In fact, one study found that office distractions eat up about 2.1 hours per day. I can believe that. Another study found that employees spend an average of 11 minutes on a project before being distracted. And after that interruption takes place, it takes them 25 minutes to return to the original task, if they ever return to it at all. And people switch activities every 3 minutes, either after making a call or speaking with somebody in their cubicle or working on a document. And it becomes frustrating and exhausting. And sometimes when you get back to where you were, your ability to stay focused goes down even further. And you change focus so many times. And studies say that sometimes people change focus 10 times an hour or 20, up to 20 times an hour. And it reduces productive thinking time. Distractions can cause you to forget good ideas, to lose valuable insights, and sometimes your ability to remember things can be affected, and it's very frustrating. It's said that there's some self-tests you can take to determine if you struggle with being distracted. I'll read these off really quickly. Number one, you need to read a sentence 5 times to get through it. Number two, you cannot study and listen to music at the same time. Number three, you have several unfinished projects lying around the house. Number four, your internet browser tends to be filled with more than 3 tabs. You have several unanswered texts on your phone. You tend to get distracted going to the grocery store by everything that's around you. You can't get through a story without starting another one in between. You can't watch movies with subtitles. So that may be discouraging to you if you relate to any of those things, but you may be thinking, well, is this a spiritual problem? You know, what is Randy talking about? Why is he bringing this up? Sometimes being distracted may be the result of, physical illness. You know, we know that sometimes kids and even adults have attention deficit problems. Or sometimes we just get older and we forget things. And that's not really what I'm addressing, but I want to submit to you that staying focused is something that's a very important part of being a disciple of Christ. And sometimes the lack of being able to be focused and put attention to where it belongs can be an indication of our faith not being what it should be. Or, worse, that our faith, our heart is corrupt. And I want to read with you an event from the life of Christ. And of course, Jesus was able to spot a spiritual problem from a mile away, and he certainly did expose those from time to time, even when it was among friends. I think we have an example of that here in Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Luke 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." And we're going to leave it right there for a minute. We're going to get distracted and we're going to come back to it. But I want to tell you why I think this is a spiritual issue. Many times our attention is shifted away from something that is of greater importance to something that is of lesser importance. That certainly does happen in our work, and I hear it many times that we are distracted by the urgent and we don't take care of the important. And that happens to me. Sometimes we refer to that as putting out fires. You're not getting anything accomplished because you're putting out fires. You're doing things that are urgent. And what we see here in this story will help us to understand that situation. But we can be distracted from God. We can be distracted from His purposes. I think we even saw an indication of that in our class this morning when we talked about the people went and they served the Baals, and it says they forgot God. Well, did they really forget God? No, they didn't forget who God was, because 8 years later they called out to Him. But the things that were going on around them certainly were a distraction to them, to the point that they started doing those things that the nations around them taught them how to do, serving the Baals. And so there are things that can cause us to replace things that are important with things that are not. We can be distracted from God and His purposes. And the Scriptures certainly tell us that is part of the problem with idolatry. So let's go back to our story here in Luke chapter 10. And the scene that we see here is that Jesus has entered a village. There's this woman named Martha who welcomed Jesus into her home. And you consider the pressure that Martha is under. And you think about Jesus coming over to your house. And some of you understand this pressure to a degree. There are those that, if somebody is going to come over to your house, you want to be prepared. You want to clean. You want to have some advance notice. There are things that you need to do. And you know, when I was growing up, my mom made us keep the house clean all the time because she never knew when Dad was going to bring somebody over. You know, he wouldn't announce to her, "Oh, I'm going to invite somebody over," because that's just the way that he grew up. They grew up in a small town where people just dropped in on each other all the time, unannounced. And I think our culture has changed somewhat where that's not done so much. And so, you know, we prepare for somebody to come over. And we want everything to be just right. And so Martha wants that. Jesus is coming over. And we might relate that to somebody important coming to our house for a meal, or the family's coming over for Thanksgiving or whatever. You just want everything to be perfect. The house is clean. The guests are comfortable. You make sure the meal is prepared and it can be served on time and everything will be ready at the same time. And you want everything just to be perfect and everything goes just right. So it's a big day for Martha and Mary. And so we understand that what pressure Martha is under here. So the scene becomes interesting here, and you can imagine that Martha is running around the house trying to get everything ready. And the smoke is rising in the kitchen, and she's preparing things at a frenzied pace, but where is Mary? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His teaching. And you can imagine Martha peeking around the corner and resenting the fact that Mary's just sitting there. I've been sitting on the couch before when something's being prepared, and I know that the feeling that other person probably has. There's Martha peeking around the corner, and she's not doing what it is that Martha thinks needs to be done. I'm up here trying to kill myself, trying to pull off this meal, and you can imagine those thoughts running through her head. It sure would be nice to have a little help in here. Why is my sister, who is so lazy, not helping me? I wish I could be out there listening, but someone has to get this meal prepared. And finally, she can't take it anymore. And in verse 40, it says, "Lord, Do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Those are very strong words. Do you not care, Jesus? Can you imagine saying that to Jesus, that you really don't care about me? You know, Martha is claiming an injustice here and sees Jesus as not caring about how she's being mistreated at this moment. Tell my sister to come help me right now. And Martha thinks that Jesus is going to set Mary straight. Send Mary in here to help me out. There are things that need to be done right now, and we're not going to eat if they don't get done. But she doesn't get the response that she's expecting. It does seem that every time that somebody asks Jesus, I want you to tell this person this, that it doesn't usually work out in the way that they thought it would, or that Jesus doesn't exactly say the things that they were hoping that he would. But the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, and Mary has chosen the good portion. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You know, Martha expected Jesus to say, Mary, please be a good servant and go help your sister. But Jesus tells Martha that she is the one that's wrong and that Mary has made the better choice. So the rest of our lesson, we'll consider some things that we can get out of this. When we see that Martha was distracted with much serving, you might be thinking, well, is that a problem? Aren't we supposed to serve others? And certainly, that is something that we are to do. Was this not a hospitable thing to do? But Martha complained that her sister Mary wasn't helping because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but this one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So what Jesus did is he told her that your distraction is anxiety. That you're worried about serving and you're anxious about feeding everyone. And probably more than likely anxious about what everybody would think of her and her household if she didn't pull that off well. But anxiety can be something that can be an enemy of faith if it steps between me and the work that God has given me to do. You know, for example, there are people that feel like they need to miss the assembly because they're worried and troubled about a lot of other things. That, you know, they have to work, or they have to miss assembly for whatever reason it might be, and they've justified that into their own minds that I've got to do these things, but are they missing something that's more important? It's an enemy of faith. Anxiety is when it causes me to lose perspective on what's really important or what's going to help me out spiritually. You know, for example, if I'm so worried about the building being clean that I can't worship, you know, that I've picked out the spot on the wall or that the Lord's table is crooked or something, that I'm concentrating on that the whole time and I'm not worshiping. And I don't think it is crooked right now. So now you're all distracted looking at that to see if it's cattywampus, right? So that's just an example of sometimes how we can become so focused on something that will cause us to be distracted from what is good. And Satan will certainly use things to distract us from what is spiritual. It's an enemy of faith when it distracts me. And we need to think about the way that God provides for us. You consider what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6 when he taught about his provisions that he provides us. And his lesson was here is don't get distracted with all of these physical things which are going to be taken care of. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself, about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what we see here, one person's put it this way: you pile all your worries and all your bills on the kitchen table and worry all night. What have you changed? Still going to be there in the morning. You've really changed nothing. But you'll pile them all on the table and pray all night. You will be changed if you will engage in prayer. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You need to rely on your Heavenly Father. You need to quit worrying so much. And encompassed in this distraction of worry, you know, certainly is selfishness that, you know, really is rampant today. Because a lot of the things that Jesus says the Gentiles are seeking after, those things, that's not a compliment. You ought to be focused on more things other than what you're going to wear and what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat, how much money you have. Those things, those who are ungodly, they think about those things. You need to concentrate on things that are more appropriate for a spiritually minded person. Yeah, certainly there's a reason we worry about the things that we worry about, and a lot of it has to do with our heart. And the things that Jesus mentions here, they certainly do affect you. What you eat and what you wear and where you live and all these things that he mentions, they're things that people think affect them the most. We worry about our things, and we worry about material possessions. But do we ever put as much concern and thought into our spiritual state? Am I accomplishing anything spiritually? Am I progressing? Am I growing? Jesus is teaching the disciples here how to react, when they're persecuted in Luke chapter 12, how the Holy Spirit would provide them answers to questions that people would ask them as they taught. Luke chapter 12. And so you think about the importance of that context of what Jesus is teaching them. That you're going to be going out and you're going to be teaching others. You don't have to worry about what it is that you're going to say, but those words are going to be given to you. And then, you know, somebody in the audience brings up a really important question in the middle of this important topic. It says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Did that have anything to do with what Jesus was talking about? Was that as important as what Jesus was teaching? He's teaching them something very important, and then somebody brings up, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And then Jesus said, "Man who made me a judge or arbitrator over you." And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Again, this is a situation where somebody cries out to Jesus and says, "Tell so-and-so to do this," and they didn't get the answer they were expecting. In fact, this is a rebuke, because Jesus is inferring that that person is covetous and that they are concentrating on the wrong thing. And we deal with that kind of distraction when we're thinking about things that are not really helpful spiritually. Terrell's been teaching class the past quarter, and she's had a couple of amusing things that have happened. And you know, you're dealing with 5-year-olds and thereabout, and so you realize that sometimes they're going to be a little distracted. And Jarrell would get all kinds of interesting information, you know, from the kids about things that had to do with the lesson. I had a grilled cheese sandwich yesterday. And so Jarrell would tell them, I want you to try to refrain from making comments that don't have anything to do with the lesson. And so that was an oft-repeated thing that Jarrell would tell them. Now, if you have something to say about the lesson, I want to hear about it. But if you have something to say that doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, then you need to save that for after class. And so somebody pipes up and says, I have something. And Jarrell says, is it about the lesson? And she says, it's about the map. And Jarrell thought, oh, good. You know, a comment about the lesson. So what is it about the map? There's a D on it. I see a D on the map. Okay. You talk about distractions. We understand that when it comes to kids, that we struggle sometimes to keep them on track and keep them focused on what it is that we're trying to learn. And it also is a problem that we have sometimes as adults, isn't it? To stay focused. To just don't touch your phone right now. And don't act like you're looking at the Bible app. That you're really reading your email. Distractions can really be a big enemy for us. And, you know, it's one thing that you really, when you're in the type of job that I'm in and you're sitting in front of customers, that you don't want to be sitting in front of them checking messages on your phone. It's rude. And they want to have all of your attention. And you don't need to be answering calls in front of and when you're in an important meeting with someone else. You know, it's a lack of focus. And it really affects us in our spiritual life. Distractions can be an enemy of listening to God. Back to our story about Mary and Martha. Martha was distracted by serving. Mary was listening to Jesus. And for Martha, at that moment, in the serving and the anxiety that was associated with it, it became the enemy of what was really good. And that was the point that Jesus made to her. That's not how it felt to her at the time. She thought she's doing the right thing. That's why she appealed to Jesus to get on to Mary and for her to get up and help her. And it doesn't say so, but I'm convinced that she's probably shocked that Jesus didn't value the serving as much as she did. But Jesus was very pointed about that and said, one thing is needed. Martha probably had a whole list of things that were needed right then, but Mary was doing the one thing that was needed in Jesus' mind that contrasted, you know, so clearly with what Martha thought was important at the time. Over and over, when we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, they start out by saying, hear, O Israel. What they're saying is, listen, open your ears. You need to hear what's about to be said. You don't need to be distracted. And Jesus said that same statement many times. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus would go, verily, verily, I say to you. And he'd say something that was important. When he prefaced it by saying, hear, O Israel, he was going to say something that needed to be concentrated on. And so Jesus called Mary's choice to sit at his feet and listen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So listening to Jesus is a good thing. And it is what will serve us the best. When we take time to listen to God, either through listening to lessons or studying the Word or meditating or praying, those things are productive. They should not be considered unproductive. There is much that needs to be done in visiting and serving others and things that we do, you know, actively. But there's also things that need to be done as far as knowing what God has to say to us by reading and studying and praying and meditating. We have a lot to do. And we need to do the things that were important. And Jesus said, this is not going to be taken away from her. I'm not going to make her stop listening to me. I'm not going to make her stop learning from me and to come help you right now. You know, what is, she is going to gain by listening is going to be very helpful to her in the future. Someone wrote, we tend to value the volume of things accomplished and call that productivity. This is something that I've learned a lot being under different types of managers, and there are some that want you to give a list, and Rex knows this after being in sales. They want, here's a list of everybody that you've called on. You know, and if you don't have a list showing that you've done this activity, then it's considered to be a failure. Or if you have a long list of those that you have had contact with, that's success. Well, no, that's not success. The success is the bottom line, is what have you actually sold? What have you actually done? What have you actually accomplished? And those that are very good in those types of positions find that managers are much less interested in documenting and micromanaging their activity because they know that they're results-oriented and they get the job done. And it's the ones that are not, seem to not be doing anything that get micromanaged about what it is that you do. What does that have to do with spiritual things? Well, you know, we have all the same amount of time in the day. Every one of us has exactly the same 24 hours that the other has. And if we are distracted from the things that are good, as Martha was, then we've lost that time and we don't get it back. We need to use the time that God has given us to do things that are productive, that will help us to grow spiritually, that will be things that we can do to encourage and to teach others. God values the importance of things accomplished. He calls that fruitfulness. And we need to be fruitful. He is very interested in that in our lives. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, the psalmist says, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Sometimes listening doesn't feel like doing. But we need to slow down and listen to God. As the psalmist said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Before we can know what it is that we need to do, we have to stop and listen to God by understanding His word. It's easy for us to be distracted from the things that are good. But it takes sacrifice and a strong commitment to stay focused on what God wants in our life. Just in my short time on this earth, knowing the things that you know about the past and history, it does seem that there's probably a greater propensity to be distracted today than any other time. I can recall recently people talking about the way the gospel meetings were done in the past. That they had tent meetings, and sometimes those tent meetings would be two or three weeks. And you know, we've gotten to the point now that we can't even have a meeting that lasts for an entire week. Why is that? Well, there's so many other things that are going on. In the past, you know, these people that had tent meetings, they lived in an area where if they had television, they didn't live in an area that had good reception. All you got was snow, and they had to, if you remember, putting tinfoil on the antenna. So they had to do something, and here's the gospel meeting. And so a lot of people learned the gospel through those kind of efforts, which was a good thing, but times change. Today we see people learning the gospel through the internet and through exchanges on social media and through other types of interaction. The important thing is that we don't become distracted with everything that's around us. What is the thing that's most important? You know, when Peter became distracted by the crashing waves that were around him, when he took his eyes off of Christ and fear overcame him, you know the result there. But Jesus was always there. You know, he hadn't taken his eyes off of Peter, and he was ready to pull him back on top of the water with him. And that's an important lesson for us, that Jesus is ready to help us if we keep our eyes on him. If we keep our eyes on Christ and what he would desire for us in our life, then we don't have to be distracted. Let's not be distracted from our mission as Christians and let, you know, things that really are not so important become the focal point. And the powerful lesson that Jesus gave to Mary and Martha, and we need to learn from that. Hope this lesson will be useful to you in your life and help you to be laser focused on what it is that you need to be doing. If you haven't been doing that, and we can help you in any way to respond to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.
And press the battle, ere the night shall fail the foe.